So transform lives. That's the name of the sermon series that we're actually beginning this morning. And for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about the fact that that is what Christ does in our lives. Christ comes into our lives, and we are changed when we encounter God through Jesus Christ. And the scripture lesson that I'm going to be beginning with this morning, it comes from John's Gospel, from near the beginning of Jesus' ministry, where a man comes to Jesus, and he's curious about Jesus and his mission, and the words about that that Jesus tells him. This is from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." And Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. So I remember one time back when I was still in seminary, I went into a local bookstore here, and it was not a Christian bookstore. It was just a regular bookstore. And I went in to pick up a couple of what were very clearly Christian nonfiction kind of books. If you're familiar with authors like Philip Yancey, Dallas Willard, I don't remember exactly what it was, but books like that at the time. And I remember I went up and I set the books on the counter to check out. And the clerk there looked at me and looked at the books and looked at me and said, "Are you a Christian?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And then she said, "Born again?" And I remember thinking at the time, I said, "Well, it just seems like a really strange thing for the cashier to ask me as I'm checking out." But if you remember, I said it was when I was in seminary, and I remember the first thing that came off the top of my head, the first thing, and what I said to her was, I said, "Well, actually, there's really no other kind." And she just kind of smiled at me in an interesting way and finished, you know, ringing up my credit card, and I checked out, and I walked out. But as I was leaving the whole way out to the parking lot, and really in my car afterwards, I remember thinking, you know, what was really behind that question that she asked me? I really kept wondering what that was all about, and I wished I'd pursued the conversation with her a little further, because I kept wondering, so what was she really, was she trying to pigeonhole me, you know, into a certain type of Christianity, whatever she thought that phrase, born again Christian, what that meant? You know, or if I'd said no, you know, was she going to try to convert me to become one right there as I was checking out? You know, I didn't know. I mean, maybe, you know, she works at this bookstore. Maybe she's really just trying to figure out, so who is the target audience for this book? How do people who buy these books self-identify? Maybe it was just a business question. I don't know. I really have no idea what she had in mind when she asked me if I was born again. But whatever she might have meant by that, I do believe that the answer that came out just off the top of my head was true. Okay, folks, because of the Gospels of Jesus, the Gospels all agree that Jesus, right, and Jesus, the one who all Christians say they follow, that Jesus, okay, he came to earth proclaiming again and again and again that the kingdom of God was now near. And in the scripture lesson we have this morning, we hear Jesus say to Nicodemus, who's this leader of the Jewish people, he tells him, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Think about it, it's a pretty assertive statement, isn't it? I think it's very, very assertive. Jesus tells this guy who comes to him because he's curious about Jesus' message, about his mission. First thing he says is, the only people who can truly understand my mission, this mission that I'm here for, this mission to bring about this thing called the kingdom of God, are people who have been born again. And Jesus makes no excuses. He says, you cannot see it. You cannot see this vision of what I'm here for unless you have been. Well, of course, Nicodemus, he's there just checking Jesus out. He's intrigued by, he's curious about Jesus, right? So, of course, he doesn't understand at all. And he, of course, asks, well, how can a grown person actually, you know, reemerge from their mother's womb and be born a second time? So Jesus is very patient. Jesus elaborates on that first answer he gave. He actually, this time, he says, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. So I think what Jesus is saying is like, okay, all right, Nicodemus, you're here. If you really are curious about me, okay, if you really want to be able to kind of fully enter in to this mission, this what I'm all about, then he tells Nicodemus, that's going to take a pretty serious change in your life. Jesus tells him that being born of water, okay, being born of the flesh, in other words, I think being an intellectually curious human being isn't going to be enough. He tells him, if you want to really get what I'm all about, you're going to have to be born again. You're going to have to be born of water and the Spirit. You've been born of the flesh. You had this physical birth. But now you're going to have to allow the Holy Spirit of God to give birth to an entirely new you, an entirely new spirit inside of you, because it's only the existence of this Spirit living inside you that's going to allow you to truly see this kingdom of God that I'm all about. He says, you're never going to understand it. You're never going to understand me unless that happens. He says, the flesh and blood that we're all born with isn't enough. Okay, and the story goes on, and Jesus, he ends up a little bit even more exasperated with Nicodemus, because remember, Nicodemus is this leader of the Jewish people, but Nicodemus doesn't seem to get that the Bible, and for him that was just the Old Testament, that the Bible, you know, whether everywhere throughout the whole Bible, there's this one particular image that the Bible always has firmly in its sights, always. It doesn't matter if we're talking about the Old Testament prophets that Nicodemus should have known so well, or for us, especially in the words of Jesus, but certainly also in the words of Paul, in his letters and the other New Testament writers, there is always and everywhere this image of what the Bible calls the kingdom of God. Sometimes it calls it the kingdom of heaven. But this image is always, always, always firmly in view throughout the Bible. It's because even long before Jesus was on the scene, okay, long before Jesus came, even in these Old Testament times, people had this very deep sense that the way the world works seems wrong. People looked around and they saw kings killing other kings. They saw factions warring against other factions. They saw friends betraying friends and merchants deceiving buyers. And they saw the rich getting richer on the backs and at the expense of the poor. And they saw all kinds of people lying and cheating and stealing and killing to get what they wanted. And most of the time, those people just shrugged and said, it's just the way the world works. It's just the way the world works. And you know, what's really horrible about that is they're right. They're right then. That is the way the world worked. And we look around and we know that is how the world still works today. See, but then, along came this guy named Jesus. And he held out this vision of a different kind of world. He held a vision of a world that the Old Testament prophets had prophesied about, that they said today is coming, where things are different. A world that Jesus called the kingdom of God. And it was a world that Jesus claimed to know about very, very intimately. It was a world where things like grace and kindness and compassion and love and forgiveness ruled the day. It was a world where no one thrived at another person's expense. And according to Mark's gospel, the Gospel of Mark, the image of this world was so central to Jesus' message, so central to it, that the very first thing Jesus said when he began to preach in Mark's gospel was this incredible good news. According to Mark, he said, "The time has come. The kingdom of God is near." This kingdom of God, this different world, is close. And in Matthew's gospel, very same thing. The first thing Jesus says is, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This different world is close. And in today's reading, like I said, from towards the beginning of John's gospel, we hear Jesus tell Nicodemus that this kingdom of God that's the heart of Jesus' message, the core of everything Jesus talks about, this kingdom of God that Jesus is coming has somehow brought near, he tells Nicodemus, it can't be seen. You can't really grasp what it looks like unless the Holy Spirit gives birth to a new spirit inside of you. There's a reason for that. Okay? It's because the old you, the merely physical you, the merely flesh you, says, you know what? I'm happy. I'm satisfied with my life, you know, and I really don't want to think about how broken the world really is for anybody else. And I especially don't want to think about who I might have stepped on, whether I knew it or not, to be happy and secure and satisfied the way I am. But Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit does give birth to a new spirit inside of you, you're going to know it. He says you're going to be changed. You'll be transformed. He says you're going to start seeing things in a way you've never really seen them before because you really are different. You really are. It's like you've been born all over again. And once you've seen it, once you've grasped it, you won't be able to let go of this vision of the kingdom of God that this new spirit within you allows you to see. Your life's priority will become cooperating with God, working with and through this new spirit that lives within you, that's been born in you, to make this kingdom a reality. Now, how this really happens for every individual, how quickly it happens, and how we respond to that, it's different. It's different for every single individual because it's God's plan to use every single Christian, to use every single person who's caught an image, this image of the kingdom of God in a very unique and personal way in the world to accomplish God's kingdom. Every story is unique. Every story is different. But right now, I'd really love you to watch this video. Turn your attention to the screens. I want you to pay really close attention to the story of transformation that you hear being told in this video.
Hi, Steve and Rebecca Tim. We've been coming to Living Word since 2009. We were originally introduced to the church by our daughter, Natalie Tim, who at the time was in middle school and looking for a good home and youth program as she was advancing towards confirmation. So we give her credit for introducing us to the church.
We were attending another church at the time, and it was a great church, but she wanted to go to through confirmation with friends, and she had a handful of her soccer friends in that class. And so naturally we started coming to the church. And then our son Ethan, who's now 15, also went through confirmation at Living Word. So we figured if both our kids were members, we certainly should be.
Yeah. In September 2014, our oldest child, only daughter, Natalie, was in a single car accident. She was coming home from work on a Sunday evening. We were anticipating her return home. And unfortunately, she never made it home. Instead, we ended up receiving a phone call from the ER, and it was a life-changing event. It was a difficult time. It's been a tough 35 months, but as you go through a grief cycle, you learn to compensate. You take one day at a time, and you try to figure out what you're going to lean on in order to make it through those various grief cycles. And we chose to lean in and make God a priority in our lives, a bigger priority. We've both been fortunate enough to be raised in Christian homes where our families have always had the influence of God in their lives. And Sunday school, all the way back to when I was a kid in PSR class and things of that nature. So there was a good foundation there, but it was still not the priority in my life. And
like you said the other day, it's a checkbox.
It was a checkbox. If there's a silver lining that came from our tragedy, it was that it's brought us closer to God and renewed our faith. We decided to lean in and that we were going to transform our lives in a manner to where we reprioritize God. And we leaned in and decided to make our commitment to God more prevalent in our lives and a priority on our daily activities and the way we act and the things we do. The being more involved in church, whether it's with Wednesday Connections, getting involved with the hospitality team, serving on the finance committee, making sure Ethan's enjoying his time there, getting involved with the youth groups.
Well, and I think, it's sad that it took a tragedy for us to lean on God more than we did before Natalie died. I wish we would have experienced that more fully. But God's patient, and he waited, and he's there 24/7. So even if we're not in the church, he's still with me 24/7. We've got a lot of family and friends that love us, and they're there for us, but they can't be there 24/7. But God can, and in my saddest moments, when I'm crying my eyes out, he's still there. Yeah. Always.
Thank you, Steve and Rebecca, so much for sharing that story with us. But folks, I don't know, did you catch the kingdom of God that I've been talking about in that video? Did you hear Tim describe the birth of a new spirit living in their family? First, when they were young, when they were going to church, going through PSR, but then with Natalie's desire to get a little more involved, through confirmation, and then their firsthand experience of what the kingdom of God really looks like and the way they were supported by God and by their family and by their friends in the aftermath of just unfathomable tragedy. And did you hear how in the midst of that they actually found and they embraced the presence of the Holy Spirit around them in the midst of that pain and how that actually led them to a deeper place of trust in God, to a place where church was no longer just a checkbox, but an actual centrality in their lives, a priority. And did you hear them talk about how that ultimately led them to a place of wanting to give back to God, to be a bigger part of what God is doing here on earth through the church? And did you hear them talk about wanting to be a part of God's mission to help make the kingdom of God a reality? Do you hear them describe their experience of being reborn? Because, that's not the language that they used. Okay, they didn't mention the kingdom of God. They didn't talk about being born again. They didn't talk about the Spirit giving birth to Spirit. Right? They didn't use the language that Jesus used. But folks, that's it. That's it. That's what it looks like. That's what Jesus was talking about. It's about encountering God firsthand. It's about being open to recognizing Christ right there in the world around us. It's about experiencing the Holy Spirit's presence in very real and very tangible ways and then letting that Spirit take root in our lives so that it can really take hold of us. And we can really take hold of the vision of a better world, that God needs our help in bringing about. Because folks, I'll be honest, I do a lot of Bible study and all, and sometimes I think we get a little confused about things. I really do. I think we think that to be a Christian, or maybe to be a good Christian, okay, it means we have to become experts in biblical interpretation or doctrinal understanding of all the beliefs of the church, when what it really takes is simply to recognize and embrace the Holy Spirit, who is calling out to us to catch a vision of the kingdom of God that Jesus came to proclaim, to allow that Spirit to be born in us and to turn us into someone new, someone who longs for that kingdom that maybe we've just caught a glimpse of, to be seen everywhere in the world. Then, that same Spirit compels us to want to learn all we can about that kingdom, to discover just what this mission of Jesus really is, and discover how Jesus said we could be part of his mission to actually make it real, to bring it to fulfillment. And we do that by studying God's word. Because folks, you know what? You look around, right? You know, you do not have to be an expert in biblical theology and kingdom theology to know that the kingdom of God seems as far away from being a reality today as it ever has. Right? I mean, another tragedy strikes somewhere, someplace, every day. Now, some tragedies we know are world news events, right? We all know about them, like cars plowing into crowds, killing people. But others aren't. Like daughters being killed in car accidents. And folks, for those of us who've caught this vision of a kingdom of God, who are obsessed with this picture of a transformed world, every single tragedy just rips us to the core. And sometimes, you know what? Sometimes we might be tempted to question if this kingdom of God thing is even real. We might be tempted to question, is it really possible? We might begin to question whether it's worth the effort when it just seems so far out of reach. But God says yes. God says yes because God loves this world in spite of the fact that his kingdom has not yet been fully realized on earth. Just like the Timms, folks, just like the Timms. Every single one of us in this room has a choice to make in the face of tragedy, and whether it's a world event or whether it's something very deeply personal in our lives. We can choose to reject God, we can blame God, say it's horrible and God really ought to fix it. Or we can choose to lean in, as Steve said in that video, to lean in, to make God even more of a priority in our lives, to become part of the fix, not just someone complaining about it, because the kingdom of God is that important. Folks, God thinks it is. God certainly thinks it is, because it was towards the very end of this same discussion with Nicodemus that Jesus said some of the most famous words in the whole Bible. At the end of his talk with Nicodemus, Jesus told him, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Let's hear that last part again, because that is so important. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Folks, God still loves this world. God is still working to save this world. And Jesus Christ is still the only means through which that love and salvation is being made known to this world that doesn't work the way it should. So I really want to invite you today to choose to lean in, to choose to invite God, to ask God to have you be born again, to have a new spirit born in you. And I really want to invite you to be able to truly see the kingdom of God that God wants you to see. Because the more people of this world who catch that vision, the better this world is going to become. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray. Well, Holy God, we just give you thanks, we give you praise this morning that you do love the world so much, this broken, messed up world, that you would send your Son to us, not just to save our individual lives, but to save the world. So God, I just ask that you would fill us here at Living Word, fill everyone here today, give us a powerful sense of that vision of the kingdom that you say is yet to come, the kingdom that you inaugurated, the kingdom that this world really can be. God, the prayer that you gave us, that when Jesus taught his disciples, said, "Thy kingdom come," and we pray it all the time, but God, help us to mean it when we pray it. Help us to ever, ever, ever have in front of us a vision of the world as you want this world to be. Fill us with your Spirit to help make it real. And we lift this prayer in the name of the one you sent to save us all, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.